Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. You know, wholesalers, some of the best suggestions we get for guests on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio come from you. And this is exactly where we came upon our guests today. One of our clients at their national sales conference came back buzzing about the message that he heard from this particular expert. Now, he's not any stranger to our business. In fact, he's got 40 years of experience in financial services under his belt. His experience ranges from insurance to annuities to Wall Street. He began his career in 1974 with Home Life Insurance Company. He ran insurance sales at Payne Webber, and he was a senior vice president at MetLife, building their annuity business. Among other notable achievements, he's a founder of the Retirement Institute. Many of you may formerly know that as NAVA, the National Association for Variable Annuities, a resident of New York, a rugby player, in fact, part of the Fordham University Football Hall of Fame, Joe Jordan. Welcome to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Well, it's great to be here, Rob. Thank you very much.
It's indeed our pleasure. Joe, what struck me about your message, and as you and I were just so briefly discussing in our pre-call just moments ago, was the forgetfulness we may all have as wholesalers about the what we're delivering to advisors to deliver to customers. We get so balled up in the tonnage, get so balled up in meeting the sales goal that we forget about the darn usefulness of the product. And that really is at the core of your message, is it not?
Yeah, it is, Robert. You know, the book I wrote was Living a Life of Significance, and it's something that I came to gradually. You know, I was very active in the business. I ran insurance sales at Payne Webber, and then I became a VP at MetLife, built their annuity business, and then became a senior VP. I had all the wholesalers under me in terms of our retail channel. And so I know what it's like to get very busy and to be focusing in on the metrics of success, how much of the stuff you sell and what have you. And one of the things that I began to get think about, and the thing that really triggered it was I started fee-based financial planning at MetLife, which I agree with and think it's a great program. But as I was looking over the stuff, it just seemed so distant. It was another vernacular. It didn't really connect with people. It was very left brain, analytical, and intellectual. And that kind of led me down a path to begin to think about that a lot of our stuff in financial services isn't really connecting with people because it's dealing primarily with the left brain, the analytical side. And there's this whole emotional side. And, you know, for the most part, financial services poo-poos emotion. You know, you have to take it out because you have to be, you know, you shouldn't do it. It's a wrong question. How do you accommodate it? That got me in to start looking at this whole thing of behavioral finance. There's a whole program out there. I don't have time to go through it. But, you know, everything down to any of the documents, any of the materials we create to asset allocation models and what have you, is spoken in a way that doesn't really connect with people. We focus on what people know, not how they feel about things. And so that was really the start, the genesis of it.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's peel the onion back a little bit, because when you speak about that, you're touching on something that's really important as we talk to our clients. And that is this whole notion of the heart versus the head, and that's exactly what I think you're speaking about.
Yeah.
What sort of impact, let's talk about it from a distributor standpoint. Let's talk about it from the vantage point of a chair you used to occupy. The wholesaler is going to touch the advisor. What sort of advantage do we get by touching them in the heart in addition to the head? Because we have no trouble touching them in the head, right? We got the stats from here until next Sunday. But what benefits do we get if we touch them at the heart?
Well, you know, the major thing is this is, you know, because a lot of times people hear the title of my book or what my talk's about, and everyone says, oh, God, you know, another tree hugger, you know. And I'm not. I deal with the three major issues that everyone deals with in financial services. Everybody wants more pro-rep productivity, because if there's more pro-rep productivity, they tend to stay longer. And staying longer means that people aren't exposed to very expensive recruiting just for the purposes of replacement. If people stay longer, then they're actually growing their organization. So that's a hard business metric. The second one is to make certain that they sell the right mix of business, and that's a challenge. And that's, to some extent, sometimes what wholesalers do. depending upon your expertise and what have you, is that most organizations are recognizing that they grew up a certain way, that they're culturated either into an investment environment or insurance environment or a property and casualty environment. And what they want to do from a business standpoint is to try to, exploit the relationship that they have with existing clients to make certain that they sell multiple products, because they feel most stocks say that, that creates a relationship. So behavioral change from a sales rep, a cultural change, is very important. And that's something that wholesalers do. And that's there. And the third one is to create an environment on value, not price. And value is more of it's not a left-brain analytical thing, because that's just price. And that's one of the things that helps to kill businesses and businesses, is the fact that it's just, set it off. Those are the three major issues. And so if I were to look at it and to say the core issue in productivity, a lot of people say that, nothing happens until a sale is made. I don't buy that. Nothing happens until someone asks someone to be seen. And I would submit this, and this goes to all financial services. Wherever I am in the world, whether it's a P&C operation, whether it's an investment operation, whether it's an insurance operation, or they're selling what widgets, what everybody does, hates and sales, is doing is actually getting on the phone and asking someone to see them. It's rejection. Okay, it's negativity. I submit, and so what happened with this thing is it started to evolve. I submit that one of the issues, and so sometimes people think I'm a motivational speaker. I'm not. I don't know how I could motivate salespeople. I mean, for the most part, they talk to people about stuff they don't want to talk about. They don't want to see them, and then when they see them, they don't buy what they're selling. I think people have to get inspired. And so inspiration, the beauty, motivation you drive, but the beauty of inspiration is it drives you. And so one way of getting inspired is to recognize the impact that you're having. Look, we don't sell colored water, okay, a Diet Coke or stuff like that. We actually sell financial products that allow people to have independence and dignity in retirement at a time when people are living longer and at a time when governments are pulling back. Entitlements are going away. I submit that people in financial services are the heroes of the 21st century, because the dominant issue, the dominant issue of the 21st century is not terrorism, it's not global warming, it's not energy, it's the aging population of the world. That aging population of the world is changing all the stuff. That's why governments, they can't afford the pensions that they've set up. People are going to run out of money. They don't have pension plans. They have to save on their own. And as they get older and live longer, it's not just a question of investing. They also have to manage risk, not just money. And that means that they have to insure against what can go wrong to gain the luxury to invest in what goes right. So my point is, putting this succinctly, is that the key to productivity is someone's belief they do something worthwhile, because if they don't, they will not subject themselves to rejection. And when that happens and they stop prospecting, they die, and that's where all the costs are. The thing is getting that across to sales reps, and to some extent the challenge that wholesalers have, because they're removed. They don't really see the client. But it's just trying to open up the eyes of reps themselves to see the impact of the products they have.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. So you've been around enough wholesalers, you've had enough product under your purview, good product, bad product, in-between product.
Yeah.
I suppose there's a wholesaler or two out there listening that if they look in the mirror in the morning and think about their product set, they're a little less than enthused. They're thinking, if I only had this rider, if I only had that fourth or fifth star, I would be sitting prettier. What do you have to say to them about their product? What do you have to say to them about the inspiration to go out and do good with the product?
What I would say is this, everyone always says that, and it's not me. I mean, that's the idea of having value, not price. And the issue is, and then what happens to products is, a lot of times this is true in the annuity business, it happened a lot in the life business. It turns into an arms race. It happened in the long-term care business. It turns into an arms race that what we want to do is to make it simpler and easier to sell. And so sometimes in a particular environment, someone would create a product line that's unsustainable, and that's even worse. So I really think the idea is that a wholesaler has to think about their practice the way a sales rep does. And so I think the thing is that they have to establish themselves in terms of from a standpoint of value, not price. Okay, so what value do they deliver? How can they come across it? Look, products go through cycles, and, you know, some of the worst things that happens is when you have the really hot product, because someday you will not. And people turn into vegetarian tigers, you know, no claws, no teeth. They forget how to sell. For the most part, and this is true of wholesalers too, okay? For the most part, people don't do business with you because of what you do, because wholesalers can be a dime a dozen. They do it because of why you do it. And I think the major issue that I challenge people in financial services is, why do you do this business? And if the only reason is to make money, I think you can. I think it's a lot harder because this business has more negativity and rejection than most. But if it's the idea that I begin to focus that I do something worthwhile, it raises my self-esteem. I'm talking, you know, collectively as a rep and from a wholesaler perspective, and to know that whomever I contact could be better served as a result of meeting me versus not. And I think that's the essence of productivity. That's the essence that's been lost in financial services. That is a great message for wholesalers to bring, especially those who are charged. Let me tell you this. If you're a life wholesaler, okay, and you're in an organization that's done managed money for like 15 years, and that person lives in Little Rock, Arkansas, and wakes up with the $400,000, he or she ain't going to change their behavior for money. What we always do is go right to the left brain when we're managing to sales reps and saying, look how much money you'll make. That's part of it. What you really have to do, and the good part about protection products, is it really deals with the essence of what of what people fear in getting into a relationship with them, and to think about changing behavior. The behavioral change comes from a rep who's been doing something for 10 or 15 years and never thought about the impact on others. Because that's really the true essence of wholesalerdom, I think, and the reason that you exist, and the reason that their organizations have, is they want to have the right mix of business, and they're looking to you to change behavior. So what I would begin to do is to focus in on not just how much money people would make with a product, not just the performance, because performance can come back and bite you on the ass. It's really the idea that you are part of the product, the thing that you deliver, and the value proposition that you put to people. And you really have to, let me tell you something, no one tells sales reps, I don't care how hard they are, how ornery they are, you know, how arrogant they can be. No one really comes in and tells them, you really do a great job, you do something worthwhile. Try that instead of I got something for you.
Joe, let me put you on the spot. I want to ask you a question about wholesalers in general. You've got years and years of experience. You've seen enough wholesalers. You ran a wholesaling organization. I want you to give me three characteristics that you think make for a great wholesaler.
Well, I think that a great wholesaler has to, one, realize the fact that they're not really entitled to the business that exists. They're entitled to the business that they create. And I think that wholesalers who really do the best job, you know, if you're just caretaking, you're not really going to change an environment. And that's really what a wholesaler is charged with, is to help change a culture. And that is to find the people who don't and who might have a proclivity to do some other type of product to do that. So they have to have, first of all, the conviction and the courage to have that. They have to be disciplined. And one of the things about discipline is they think towards... they have a big issue because their circle of contacts can contract if they're not dialing and smiling, if they're not every day calling X number of new prospects in terms of trying to get an appointment and get in to see somebody. So I think discipline is there. And then I think the last part is conviction. I think anyone who spends time, I don't care whether you're a mutual fund wholesaler, an annuity wholesaler, or a life wholesaler, whatever it is, you really got to think through in terms of the impact that the product line that you sell would have on clients and the potential impact it would be. And on top of that, in terms of how the sales rep would be in touch with that person, how they would feel about it. I think how they would feel about the person who made that sale. And I think that's something that is not there. I think it's a way of differentiating yourself. And so those are the three categories, I think.
Joe, thank you for that. Wholesalers, do you hear what Joe's saying? Entitled to the business that you create. Discipline and conviction, three characteristics of many that define the great wholesaler, according to Joe Jordan. Joe, thank you for spending 15 quick minutes with us at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you.
Wholesalers, come back again for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.